Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So just so far tonight, the reading of God's word. Lord, again, as we come in prayer, we again acknowledge that apart from your spirit at work, this exercise in preaching has no value. And so we do pray that you would open our hearts, again reminded that your word is like a hammer, like fire, guiding our paths and teaching and guiding us. And Lord, as has already been said, that we be conformed more and more to the likeness of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to go back right to my final year at Baptist Theological College. A whole bunch of us students waiting to be invited to a church to have a position or to be appointed in a pastoral role. Well, one of my classmates shared with the rest of us a question that a member of a call committee asked him. They were considering him, and they had a couple of people gathered together in this call committee. And the question was this: can you fix a washing machine? Okay, that's the call committee, one of the members' question to the potential pastor. Now, this classmate of mine had previously been a fitter and turner, so he was quite mechanical. He was quite capable and able to fix a washing machine. But I think the issue was that really what the call committee member should be concerned about? Are there not better questions to ask? Are there not better conversations to have when assessing the suitability of a man for the task of shepherding a local church? There ought to be. And I've entitled this message tonight, Weighty Matters. Are there not weightier matters that ought to be considered when one is exploring the appointment of somebody into spiritual leadership? Now, the reason I'm telling you this introduction or sharing this introduction, because I think when I read this passage tonight, most of you are saying this doesn't apply to me. Because this is addressed to a pastor. Most here tonight, maybe one or two or three may end up being in pastoral ministry, but most won't be. So the thinking that you may have in your mind is, no, there's no relevance for me thinking about or applying this passage. Now, this does apply to pastors. There's no doubt about it. 2 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles. However, it does also apply to every single believer. Every single one of you, and you're going to see how, as I seek to apply this passage tonight, you need to hear what God is saying through Paul to Timothy regarding the pastoral role in the local church. And maybe just to begin with a couple of reasons, why do you need to know? Well, so you can pray. Pray intelligently for the designated preacher of the church. That me, in this instance, Jabu, Isaac, Daniel, pray for us. We are not free agents to do whatever we feel like doing. But you need to know what we ought to be doing. No matter how smart, no matter how clever, no matter how creative, or pray for the pastor. Secondly, Some of you may end up being on a call committee. Church goes vacant. They elect a group of people to consider potential candidates, and they will choose some men in the church and perhaps a woman or two in the church or three, and you may have the responsibility. And I would hope that this kind of message tonight will enable you to ask relevant questions. Not can you fix a washing machine? That's irrelevant. That's nonsense. That doesn't apply. And then thirdly, and I'm going to get to this and elaborate a little bit more, this kind of passage is important so you can avoid deception. So that you can avoid deception for the sake of your eternal safety. So those few reasons to begin with. But I want to start, and I have two main points this evening. My first point is this, that you grasp something of the weight of responsibility. And I hope I've already conveyed something of that for a minute. Imagine for a minute your pastor is guilty of what Jesus accused some of the Pharisees of doing. Now remember, the Pharisees were the elite religious community of the day. These were the people that were looked up to by the ordinary citizens. But this is what Jesus says to them. Matthew 23 verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now why? For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, that's a convert. And when he becomes a proselyte, a convert, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Now that's weighty. These men were fanatical about doing missions, like we have people today, sometimes fanatical about doing missions. They were seeking or desiring to reach men and women, getting them converted to their perverted version of Judaism, that which they thought was an authentic version of the faith. Now that can be, in fact, I would go a step further and say it's often true in our own context today. There are pastors standing behind pulpits. There are missionaries going out sometimes to the ends of the world. There are religious people, there are professing Christians who are passionate about what they believe. But their message and their practice is corrupt. It's absent of what Paul is charging young Timothy to see and to do. And so as we grasp something of the weight of responsibility, there is something every single preacher needs to see. And you need to see it so you can make sure that your preacher sees it. A few Mondays ago, I was traveling to one of our retirement centers, Glenhaven, to sign some documents that were needed. And as I stopped at the robot on the corner of Atterbury and Jacqueline, if you know that area, I noticed an accident, quite a bad accident. And I crossed over the traffic light, and then I saw our staff. A number of our staff members were standing around the person that was injured in the accident. The accident involved a motorbike and a car. And what had happened is the guy on the motorbike was wanting to make a right-hand turn. In fact, he made a right-hand turn. But he didn't see the car coming along toward him, and he turned. And so what happened? The bike was a wreck. The man on the bike looked like he had a broken shoulder. I got out of my car and I had a look. He certainly had a broken gash on his knee. And the reality was it could have been worse in that he could have been killed. And why am I saying this? I'm trying to illustrate the point. Simply because he did not see the car coming. And so there's a great danger, in a similar way, there's a danger that many pastors, preachers, members are like the motorbike driver. They do not see that ministry is not about them. That ministry is not about what they think. It's not about what they want. Preachers need to see that God calls the shots. Well, the charge here in this passage, as we now turn to this passage given by Paul, involves a commission. He's been set aside to do this ministry. It also involves a warning. And it's a very severe warning. It's a frightening warning. No excuse will be accepted. And notice the content of the warning. Who is it that is the witness to the commission? It's God. God is the witness. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. And then he tells him what he ought to do. This is not just anything. This is serious stuff. Pastor, preaching to myself, this is a solemn charge. This thing has been given you to do, but it's in the sight of God. God is the witness. God who knows what you ought to do, and he knows that you know that you ought to do it. He will hold every single pastor responsible. Daniel wants to go into ministry. He's in the ministry, but he wants to go to church. Applies to him. Applies to me. 33 years, 34 years in the ministry. Every single one of us. We will be held accountable to God. Pastors are not on their own mission. We cannot simply do what we think is best. And there's an implication. Because we could then lead our hearers astray. And they too will stand before God on judgment day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. See the weighty matter yet tonight? This is serious business. Jesus warned this shocking passage. I've repeated it many times here at Central. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Pastor, potential pastor, members of a church, don't be blind. Have your eyes open to see the fact that in the church, God calls the shots. Nothing else will do. But there's something else that needs to be grasped. Every preacher needs to see, and it is that there is something every preacher needs to do. We've got to see certain things and got to do certain things. Now again, I want to illustrate, and I'll go back to the Old Testament. So we have Samuel. You'll remember Samuel. He was a man of God, and in this particular instance, he's giving his farewell message to the people of Israel, and he's addressing the importance of doing. What God says for the well-being for them as a nation. Now listen to these words. 1 Samuel 12:14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and the king. Similarly, Timothy must obey God. And by implication, preachers need to do what God tells them to do. What does he tell them to do? Have a look at the second verse. Preach the word. In season, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. There is a body of truth. We've been singing tonight about the Word of God. This body of truth informs the content of the preaching ministry. We see in the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. We have for us, wonderfully, given to us, preserved for us by God, by the Holy Spirit, the teaching also of the New Testament. As Paul told Timothy in the previous chapter of the book, the content of the Old Testament, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So what is it that preachers ought to do? What is it that you need to be sure your preacher is doing? Preach the word accurately. Proclaim the truth given us by God. Notice how he elaborates. To do so consistently. Be ready in season and out of season. I want to tell you something. It's lovely to preach the morning service here at Arcadia. And you know why? Because there are people from that corner right across to that corner, from the front right to the back. It's not so nice to stand up here at night and just see a few faces. So what do? Well, God says you preach in season and out of season. You preach when people are receiving the word and coming, and the crowds are feeding on the word, and you preach when there are few people. Perhaps it's no longer fashionable. Perhaps it's no longer in vogue. Perhaps there are other fads gaining the attention of the people. But to do so consistently, to do so comprehensively. There's a temptation for us pastors to preach only the nice things or the comforting things or our hobby horses. Well, the instruction given to Timothy here is to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. In other words, the full counsel of God needs to be preached to the congregation. There are some difficult passages in the Bible, very difficult passages. There are some encouraging passages, wonderful, encouraging passages. There are some challenging passages. There's some confrontational passages. Preach it all. You ought to hear from the pulpit all sorts of truth. Sometimes it ought to irk you a little bit. Sometimes it ought to encourage you. Sometimes you ought to leave here feeling you need to be correcting something. Thirdly, to do so persistently. Notice what he says to Timothy, be with complete patience and teaching. For many, many years, I've taught a Bible study at the retirement center, Glen Haven. Every Tuesday afternoon, I'd go there and I'd preach the Bible study. And from 1 week to the next, sometimes I'll ask a question. Something quite obvious from last week. And they all sit there, blank. And I wonder sometimes if anybody remembers anything I preach or teach. And the truth of the matter is we're slow of learning, aren't we? And so there ought to be repetition. There ought to be patience. But we need to teach and teach and teach because we people are slow learners. Sometimes it'll take months. Sometimes it'll take years. But the job of the preacher is to patiently and faithfully teach, leaving the results in God's hands. So that's number one. Grasp something of the weight of responsibility. But now secondly, grasp something of the danger that confronts you. Now this is very specific to your situation. Your and my life consists of making decisions. I'm looking around tonight, many younger people here tonight, but even older folk, you've made decisions. You will make decisions. You'll decide who to marry. You'll decide what career, what job you'll take. You'll decide where to live. You'll decide where you go on holiday. All sorts of decisions you will make. The big choice, a very important choice regarding life and death and eternal consequences, is what you decide about the church you join and the preachers you listen to. Why do I say that? You see, all these instructions that we've been having a look at, given to Timothy, he is going to be presenting in a context where there are many truth options. Now, what do I mean by that? There will be people, there are people who opt to listen to truth that is not truth. In other words, error. Paul gives a clear prediction to Timothy here of what Timothy and the rest of us can expect on the religious landscape. What can you expect in Pretoria? Well, he tells us there are going to be many people, thousands of people, who don't like what the Bible teaches. Fact. They don't like what God is saying. So what will they do? They will flock in their droves to affirm and promote and support preachers and teachers who don't care about sound doctrine. They may be wolves in sheep's clothing, or they may just be ignorant and naive men. Sometimes it's just ignorance that people teach rubbish. They will tell people anything that affirms what they want to hear. Have a look at verse 3. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate. You know what that Greek word translates? They will heap to themselves teachers. They'll pile them up for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. You have to make decisions. We all have to make decisions. On the one hand, will you choose a ministry, a church, a preacher that is involved in self-gratifying but deceptive, feel-good messages, or on the other hand, sound teaching? You decide. The options in Pretoria are many. They're many. I've repeated this phrase many times. It came from a musical that my late wife produced with kiddies in the church. You win or lose by the way you choose, but never forget the wisdom from above. Make choices, because those choices will result in eternal consequences. Timothy, in this passage, do not join the pack of wolves. It will be very tempting to go with the flow and give people what their itching ears want to hear. Instead, verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. In other words, get your head stuck into what God has revealed and get to do that. And don't bother about the rest. Keep your head. Let your work be evangelistic in nature. Spread the good news of the gospel. Do all the work involved in pastoral ministry. Why? For the eternal safety of the souls of men and women and children. Now let me conclude. Having a bad maths and science teacher, if any of you had bad maths and science teachers, is not ideal, especially in this world that we live. But it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. You may not end up being an engineer. You might not end up being a doctor. But you can be a politician. Okay? Or you can be something else, a mechanic. Right? That's fine. You don't need maths and science. My point is this. Having a bad preacher is catastrophic. He can lead you astray. He can give you a false sense of eternal security. And so I want to urge you tonight, hear what God says about the weight the preacher carries regarding the well-being of the souls of men and women. When I was a young adult, maybe a little bit before the time I was a young adult, there was a cult leader by the name of Jim Jones. Check him out on YouTube. You'll find something on that. He started out as a sound preacher, but then he started to think of himself more highly than he ought, and he really gathered a lot of people around him, and he called himself the man of God, and he led these many people astray, and the end of the story was he led literally hundreds of people into a mass suicide. That's tragic, but what about their souls? And so I wonder today, are we not too tolerant with bad preachers? Forgetting that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, deceiving many to the eternal detriment. And so, Lord, I do pray that something of the weight of this message would come across and weigh heavily on our own hearts as we consider the walk of faith, as we consider, Lord, the church that we belong to, and let us not think of ourselves more highly than we ought as individuals or a church, but constantly be going back to your scriptures and seeking, Lord, that which you have revealed and given to us. We pray for the preachers of this church, pray for the elders of this church, that there would be wisdom, that there would be courage, that there would be loyalty and faithfulness to your word. And then, Lord, I pray for each and every member. Pray that there would not be a single person led astray by error, but instead that the light and the truth of the gospel of Christ, as we sang earlier on, would be seen and believed for the sake and the well-being of our souls. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.